Hey, real quick before we get started, head over to Facebook and join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group if you haven't done so yet. We have monthly live trainings going on there. There's an opportunity for you to join in the conversation instead of just listening to what I have to say on this podcast, as well as the people that I bring on. And it's a really cool place to join about 6,000 other clinicians that are honestly trying to change the landscape of our profession through these cash and hybrid practices. One other thing that's really cool is we have a guide in there that's a quick start guide. When you join, you can go and check this out. There's about 7 videos that we've curated that are the most common questions we get and the best case studies that we've found to really help you start, grow, and scale your practice up to 7 figures. So if you haven't done so yet, head to Facebook, request to join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. You have to be a clinician. We're going to check you out. We don't just let anybody in. But if you are, head there, go ahead, get signed up. We'd love to have the conversation with you in that group. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name's Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And today we're talking about a massive in-network business practice group, I should say, and a glimpse into the business of a publicly owned physical therapy company. So ATI is a huge physical therapy company, and they have because they are a publicly traded company, they have to disclose a lot of information. It's not just them, but any publicly traded company. So each quarter, basically what happens is you have analysts, and analysts are typically just, you know, people that are digging into these different companies and industries, and then they set out projections for what they think the company is able to do. And if you are lower than that, then your stock usually goes down. If you just meet that, your stock typically stays about the same. And if you beat that analyst's projections, then the stock typically goes up. And there's a number of other factors around it that have to do with the way that people subjectively feel about these different industries and news cycles about, you know, things. Like if you look at like artificial intelligence, for instance, is just like, you know, a big buzzword in the last, or really this year, 2023. If anything had anything to do with artificial intelligence, their stock probably went up to some degree, regardless of what their business financials showed. So every quarter they have reports that they, basically it's like a big presentation that the executive team does for all of the investors. And that could be, you could buy a share of this company if you wanted to. Any company that's publicly traded company. So ATI happens to be a publicly traded company, but what's interesting is you can listen to the investor reports, right? The quarterly earnings reports that they have, and they go over important metrics that they're tracking. And, you know, they try to make everything sound as good as they can, because they don't want to sound bad about their stock, because then that's not good for the stock. So regardless of what the actual like information is, you're trying to make it sound as good as they possibly can. Which is normal, right? And I can't say that it was like necessarily there was anything bad. I just took some interesting information from it that I thought I would share about the profession as a whole from a publicly traded company that has over 900 clinics, right? And to my understanding, ATI really grew their clinic volume, like the size that they of clinics they have, a lot through acquisitions, as well as obviously like growing their own practice, but it's a mixture of both, but a lot of growth through acquiring other practices. So of these 900 practices, the average number of sessions seen per day per clinician was 9.5, which is interesting. It's lower than I would have thought. But again, that's across the board. So that's everybody. That could be part-time people. That could be full-time people. That could be people that are just getting started. That's people that are maybe like more senior that have been seeing people for longer. So the average is 9.5. If I had to assume, if you're a full-time provider in one of their practices, and you're not just like, you know, ramping your schedule up, you probably are seeing more than that. The average revenue per visit was just under $105 a visit. So roughly $105 per visit. And they say it's actually going up, which is interesting because normally we hear that that's going down. My thoughts are, well, a couple of things. Like, I know privately owned in-network practices that have like considerably higher average visit reimbursement than that. And they're all, you know, insurance-based. I think that what I would say with this is probably volume-based. So they probably have contracts that they, I'm assuming, are renegotiating, which is why they're saying that their average visit rate is going up. And when you have 900 practices, you can throw your weight around a lot more than if you have one. So something to keep in mind, like they say that that is going up and that they're able to negotiate better payer mixes and all that, right? So, but if we take those numbers and you kind of average that out, you're talking about a provider, an average provider is generating somewhere in the range of about $1,000 per day of gross revenue. If you look at the number of visits they see, 9.5 times the average visit rate, which is $105, it's about what you're going to get, which would be assuming somebody's, you know, has 4 weeks of vacation, sick leave, federal holidays, all that. You're talking about, you know, somewhere in the range of $240,000 in gross revenue earned per provider, right? So about $250,000 in revenue earned. Now that times the number of providers they have, I don't know how many they have, but it must be a significant amount because I believe last year the company generated $620 million in top line in gross revenue. So that's a lot of people pumping out visits to be able to hit $620 million in gross revenue. The other thing that they said, and this is what I thought was probably one of the more interesting parts, was that they have about 20% turnover in their company, meaning, you know, front desk staff positions every year. I'm assuming this is yearly, not quarterly, but that would be one in five people are leaving to go find another job, to go do another thing, whatever, to leave the profession. So about 20% attrition of staff members. And they talked about this as a key area that they were trying to improve in order to decrease cost. Now, what does this have to do with cost? Well, it's very expensive to have to train a new person up. They are not they're not efficient right away. You're paying them a salary. They're not really earning money to offset it right away, right? So there's also a time a time cost associated with having to go find those people, or maybe you're paying like a headhunter a fee to go find and place people, you know, with like HR departments. So it's very expensive to find and replace employees. So retention is really important. So 20%, so one in five, you know, gone every year. I mean, if they decrease that by 5%, massive difference in terms of their profitability, right? In terms of like their net profitability. So I look at this and I think to myself, all right, well, how can you apply this if you're a small, a small cash-based or hybrid practice? You don't have this number of practices. You're not generating $625 million a year or whatever. But it's interesting to hear. I think number one, I think some of the turnover might be due to some of you listening to this. If I'm guessing, some of you maybe have worked for ATI. And now you have your own thing, right? So ATI in a very tiny way can thank you guys and myself maybe for some of that. But I see the numbers, right? And like, okay, in network, these people are generating about half as much per visit as the cash practice that I started with my wife and we ran for, you know, 9 years and then just sold a year ago. Our average visit rate was closer to $200 a session. So our people don't have to see as many people in a day in order to be in the same ballpark in terms of total amount of revenue generated per provider. So that's good. So you don't have to, your people don't have to work as much. They don't have to see as much volume to generate around the same amount of revenue. So that's something that's cool. The other thing that I took away from this was the retention side and how much emphasis they're putting on this. If you're a cash or a hybrid practice owner, this is where I think you have a really distinct advantage because you have the ability to create a really good work environment, one in which people have, you know, flexibility in their hours. They feel like they're part of a better culture, you know, a culture that is more fun and enjoyable, you know, and it's something that monetarily is probably the only difference. And the ability for cash-based practices and hybrid practices to be able to create job security, stability in income, that's the difference right now. And, you know, as you mature as a business owner and you are able to generate more revenue, the ability to create stability in your staff members' lives financially is one of the stronger reasons why somebody's going to stick around. Now, if they hate where they work, it doesn't matter how much money they make, right? So make the culture great, allow them to live their life and have a career, and then make sure they can have stability with their income. And then all of a sudden we see turnover, you know, go down. Not to say that people aren't leaving and going to other things. It happens all the time, no matter what your business is, what your industry is. Nobody has 100% retention, and you probably shouldn't, because sometimes maybe you have bad hires that you need to let go, right? You're wrong, and you need to move that person out of that position. Or they leave and they leave the profession, they could do their own thing, they move to their clinic, whatever. That's normal. That's going to happen. You know, it's just the way that it's just the way that it works with employees. So you can't go to zero, but if you can really keep your retention low, you got to think about how much that is saving the company, and it's saving you a lot of headaches too. So to make sure you treat your people right, make sure that you are creating stability for them, security for them. And one of the big mistakes I would say, just to leave you on this, is I see too many clinicians that have to really grind really hard. They have to really, you know, take on risk, and it's hard for them to start a business, a practice of any sort. And then when they get to the point where they bring another person on, typically another staff provider, they expect that they're going to do the same thing to build their own schedules up. But they don't own the practice. You can't treat them like that. You can't say like, well, I went through this crucible, you have to do the same thing. It's a huge mistake. It's something that you really don't want to do, because you're gonna drive people out. And if nothing else, you're going to incubate that person in a way to where it's like, well, damn, I'm taking all this risk. I'm busting my ass doing all these things. I might as well do my own thing. You haven't created an environment where they would want to stay. Like, why would they? They feel like there's a lot of risk attached to their schedule and, you know, and their pay. And if you do that, people will leave. So something to think about. Very interesting. You could go listen to this for yourself if you want. Just look up ATI's, you know, investor report for Q2 2023. It's kind of boring. You don't have to listen to it. This is basically the summary that I took away from it. You know, and it is interesting. I kind of find it interesting. You can also look up their profit and loss sheet and their balance statement. Those are publicly listed as well. So you can see, you know, how much debt they have, how much revenue they're making. Their stock is getting crushed, by the way. Just, I don't actually know too much about it. I don't own any stock in ATI. I doubt that I would, to be honest with you. I don't appreciate, you know, it's not something that I'm interested in investing in, let's say that way. And, but yeah, if you look at their chart, it's interesting. I don't know what happened from when they went public, which was like 2020 to now, but it is very different. So I don't know. Interesting company to take a look at. Lots of data about our profession and, you know, some of the business side of things. And if you're interested, you can go look that stuff up. Definitely, it's publicly available. So as always, I hope this helps. And thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next week. Hey, Peach Entrepreneurs, we have big, exciting news, a new program that we just came out with that is our PT Biz part-time to full-time five-day challenge. Over the course of 5 days, we get you crystal clear on exactly how much money you need to replace by getting you ultra clear on how much you're actually spending. We get you crystal clear on the number of people you're going to need to see and the average visit rate you're going to need to have in order to replace your income to be able to go full-time. We go through three different strategies you can take to go from part-time to full-time. You can pick the one that's the best for you based on your current situation. Then we share with you the sales and marketing systems that we use within our mastermind that you need to have as well if you want to go full-time in your own practice. And then finally, we help you create a one-page business plan. That's right, not these 15-day business plans. You want to take the Small Business Association, a one-day business plan. It's going to help you get very clear on exactly what you need to do and when you're going to do it to take action. If you're interested, and sign up for this challenge. It's totally free. Head to physicaltherapybiz.com/challenge. Get signed up there. Please enjoy. We put a lot of energy into this. It's totally free. It's something I think is going to help you tremendously as long as you're willing to do the work. If you're doing the work, you're getting information put down and getting yourself ready to take action in a very organized way, you will have success, which is what we want. So head to physicaltherapybiz.com/challenge and get signed up today.